Welcome again to That's History, our regular segment when we look at current events from an historical perspective, finding lessons, echoes, and parallels. And joining me, as always, is Jonathan Zimmerman, professor of history at New York University. Welcome, Jonathan.
Good to be here, Chris.
Well, Jonathan, we had a story on our air last week about Temple University trying to crack down on drinking on campus, and they've already issued something like 7 times as many citations so far this year as they did in the first semester last year. As eternal a battle as the battle of, you know, in the Netherlands to keep the ocean from intruding onto the lowlands, it goes back a long way, this fight of college campuses to control the drinking of students.
It definitely does. I mean, let's be clear. College has always been about drinking. Indeed, in the 19th century, when it was almost all white men and fairly well-to-do white men who went to college, drinking was a competition and also a sign that you were a certain kind of man. So to get into a fraternity or at a place like Princeton, an eating house, drinking was really required. It showed that you were a tough guy. It also showed that you had a certain kind of disdain for the people that ran the institution, because we should remember that really until the 1960s, at most schools, you were not allowed to drink. That is, the college authorities interdicted it. Of course, people did drink, but remember, I mean, until the 60s, you couldn't have somebody from the opposite sex in your dorm either. So there were a lot of different rules, and drinking was a way to flout one of the central rules of the institution.
Now, the 1920s were also the time of Prohibition, yet you dug up something from, I believe it was the University of Chicago Handbook?
Yes, where it says, every collegian must drink. And this is 1926, so there, of course, you're not just flouting the college authorities, you're flouting the legal authorities.
All right, so you have an interesting perspective on this. Your field of scholarship is the history of education. You are currently teaching at one of the most elite universities in the United States of America. And you have a feeling that there's sort of a missing element in this discussion about college drinking, what enables the drinking.
Yeah, I think the missing element is the fact that our colleges don't demand as much study as they used to. And my colleague at NYU, Richard Arum, has counted all of this. And it turns out that in 1961, the average full-time student studied 25 hours a week. And by 2003, it was down to 13 hours. I mean, that's a remarkable decline when you think about it, almost exactly 50%. Over 4 decades. You can also see it in the amount of work that's assigned, not surprisingly. So this is another statistic which is astounding, that in the typical college semester, half of our students aren't taking a single course that requires a total of 20 pages of writing, and also half of them aren't taking a single course that requires 40 or more pages of reading per week.
You know, Jonathan, I hate to sound like one of those guys who says, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I walked 6 miles in the snow to school each day, uphill both ways.
Yeah, no shoes, no feet.
But when I was in college, we did read like 6 or 7 books and write 3 or 4 papers. What accounts for this decline in workload?
Well, it's a complicated question, and nobody is quite sure. But I think there are a few things you have to think about. One is that many, many more people started going to college. Indeed, it's now really a policy of the current president that everyone should. It's called College for All. So what had been a minority enterprise has become a majority one. I think that's one. But I think there's more to it also. I think that there's been a shift in sensibility on our campuses towards what would be fair to call a consumer mentality, the idea that because costs are rising so fast, which is another real issue here, you should have more choice in what you do. And indeed, you should be able to choose any endeavor, any scholarly endeavor, and you should be able to succeed at it. Because the other thing that's happened is that grades have gone up as well. And you can count that too. In 1960, 15% of our grades were A's. And by 2008, it was 43. So let's get that right. So that means we're awarding 3 times as many A's, and we're now up to the point where almost half of the grades that we give are A's.
So the gentleman C has now become the gentleman and gentlewoman's B+?
Or even A-. And let's be clear here. We're talking averages, right? And let's also remember that there are over 3,000 institutions in this country that award BAs. So there's going to be enormous variation across them. I'm the proud father of a college junior, and if she's listening, I just want her to know that I know she works very hard, and she works much harder than these averages illustrate. They are averages, but averages tell you something important.
So the costs of college are rising, but the amount of work, both in terms of pages read and pages written, is declining, but grades are rising. So if you sum it up, that means more free time and less pressure, which gets filled by?
Alcohol. I mean, let's be clear. We don't have a lot of good evidence that the rate of drinking has gone up. What we do know is that the rate of binge drinking has stayed steady. The scientists define binge drinking for a guy as, in any given 2 weeks, drinking five or more straight drinks, and for a woman, four or more in a row. And we think that about 40% of college students do that, and that stayed pretty steady for the past, say, you know, one or two decades. The difference is their grades keep getting better. So it isn't that more kids are getting hammered. It's more kids are getting hammered without suffering an academic penalty.
So that phrase binge drinking, the practice has always existed, even back in those distant days of misty memory when you and I were in college, Jonathan. But the phrase has gained currency. It's become something where everybody nods their heads and says, ah, yes, binge drinking, that problem. What accounts for this focus on that particular notion? What has happened recently?
Well, look, I mean, what's happened is a lot of mayhem and a lot of accidents and even deaths at universities. I mean, the people that count this think that perhaps 2,000 college students die each year in an alcohol-related accident. Even more alarmingly, in some ways, we think that maybe 100,000 students are sexually assaulted each year on college campuses, and maybe 80% of those episodes involve alcohol, either on the part of the perpetrator or the victim. That's why Temple is issuing these citations, and that's why Temple and Bucknell have both moved to eliminate their so-called spring fling. You might remember at the last one at Temple, a student who was not a Temple student, incidentally, was killed in an episode in which he was posing for a picture atop a building, and there was definitely alcohol involved there, and she fell to her death. So a lot of universities are taking these sorts of measures to try to rein in drinking. Penn State, during their spring fling equivalent, actually paid bars in town not to serve alcohol in an effort to try to rein in some of this behavior and its attached dangers.
Paid a lot of money. I think you said it was well over $100,000.
Over $150,000 to maybe 30 bars or so. Paid them not to serve the kids drinks.
One of our traditions here on That's History, Jonathan Zimmerman, is frequently towards the end, I give you a battlefield promotion so that you're imagine yourself in a position of august power where you can fix the problem we've just been discussing. So, okay, I just have made you, let's go with it, president of New York University, a somewhat controversial position as it is right now. But what would you do if it was your job to address this stew of issues that's leading both to declining effort on the part of many students and rising alcohol use? What steps would you take?
Well, you know, I think that with drug and alcohol in this country and a lot of different idioms and a lot of different problems, I think sometimes focusing too much on drug and alcohol is part of the problem. So if we're trying to rein in drunk driving, of course we should have penalties. But actually, the best solution to drunk driving is workable public transportation, because it doesn't matter how drunk you are, you can take the subway or the bus. And in a similar vein, I'd say that really the solution to the, quote, college drinking problem is to look more at the academic problem. Of course, we should do everything we can to try to prevent these awful episodes, but that's not really the problem or the issue in my mind. There's a if it bleeds, it leads issue here. So all we talk about are the kids who are getting drop-dead drunk and hurting each other. The real problem is that our educational institutions are not educative enough. And if I were the president, what I would do is I would ask every university professor to send me the syllabus of their course. And the ones that were too easy, I would send them all an email and say, this is too easy. Would that solve the problem of college drinking? Of course it wouldn't. But I think it would make a set of statements on the part of the institution that we're actually not here to drink. What we're here to do is to learn. And if you're drinking all weekend, you're not learning enough. And you should have to suffer a penalty for that. Unfortunately, in too many cases, our students don't.
So send the message that they truly are the ivy-covered walls, not Club Med with libraries.
Exactly. I mean, and let's remember part of the same consumerism mentality or the consumerism trend is that we've built palaces all over our university institutions, including my own. Really, really nice things for the students. The idea that college should be a kind of aesthetic experience, which you can see in the architecture that of colleges built 100 years ago, like Harvard Yard or Princeton, they should be monastic and they should wall us away for the rest of the world. That has gone the way of the dodo. And now what we do is we try to indulge our students with really nice things. Should we be surprised that they also drink a lot? The message we're sending is this is fun. College is fun. Look, I think college would be fun too. But I want more of the fun to be attached to academics than to drinking.
This has been That's History, and that is Jonathan Zimmerman. He is a professor of history at New York University, and thanks as always, Jonathan.
And let me be clear, that was fun.